we are on page 380, right? Yep. We're in chapter 30 of, this is, of course, Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, the unedited one. You can tell how it's not edited because it's photocopied. That's why the look at the letter A here, how it's filled in. That's because it's a picture of a printed book. And so you're going to get, that proves these books have not been edited. The Spirit of Prophecy books that you get from the Seventh-day Adventist Church today, all crystal clear, nicely hardcover, too. Ellen White never put her books in hardcover, ever. It was a waste of money. You can spend more money and get more books out if you don't put them on hardcover. So anyway, this is what it says. And this is all about character and aims of the papacy. All right, and this is valuable information today because the wound's healed. And I know people laughed about me making that video back when I said the wound was healed, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. I can't remember when it was. I says, well, it takes a little while for people to open their eyes that aren't reading Bibles. They couldn't see. Even some SDA leaders said that was wrong to say. Now, I still ain't getting no apologies, but I don't want any. I don't want any. I just hope they repent. I forgive all of them that have slandered me. I'm not messing up my prayer life for them. I mean, I love them enough to tell them the truth, period. All right, let me finish off this little bit of water here. Okay. Character and Aims of the Papacy, page 380. Spirit of Prophecy, volume 4, 1884. Romanism is now regarded by Protestants with far greater favor than in former years. Keep in mind, she said that in 1884. Okay? How many of us have seen so-called Protestants like at the Olympics make the sign of the cross before they do something? The upside-down cross on their body. Yes, it's an upside-down cross. And if you want, I could show you a video I made years ago where I trace out the guy making the sign of the cross on his body, and it literally is upside down. But, again, that's something the people aren't told. So going on, there is an increasing indifference concerning the doctrines that separate the Reformed churches from the papal hierarchy, and the opinion is gaining ground that, after all, we do not differ so widely upon vital points as has been supposed, and that a little concession on our part will bring us into a better understanding with Rome. Let me stop here. You want to see this prophecy fulfilled in kudos? You want to see it fulfilled in a graphic sense? You want to see this fulfilled in ways you never thought this would be fulfilled? Check it out. I'm going to go to sdaapostasy.org. Roman SDA Church. Just click this one here. Now, what she just said here, let's go back, is that there is an increasing indifference concerning the doctrines that separate the Reformed churches from the papal hierarchy, and the opinion is gaining ground that, after all, we do not differ so widely, right, on vital points. Okay, and the hierarchy thing, too. That video got swamped on YouTube when I proved that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has a duplicate hierarchy structure than that, like the Vatican. But you really want to see how bad it is? Go to the Roman SDA page. And a lot of these I made videos of, and so you'll just see a little flashing new, and that's the old-fashioned new I used to use. But people said, "Oh, please stop, man! Every time I read your stuff, this thing's flashing." So I get rid of them. So now I'm not going to read any of these. This will take a month of Sundays. You got Roman Catholics, you know, statements from the Roman Catholic Church talking about their hierarchical society on this one. That's the first one. That's actually the first video I think I did on it. Yeah, now on video. As a matter of fact, let's open a new window and see what it does. Oh, it doesn't let you see the new window, does it? Close it. How about open in new tab? There. Almost 100,000. The Roman Catholic hierarchy of the SDA Church. Oh, I get some of the symbolism in here too, from my the SDA page with all the pictures. But let me get back to where we were. So Roman Catholic Church says something in documents, their, you know, what they believe and how they teach. Well, Seventh-day Adventist Church does the same thing. They actually admit they have a hierarchical variety over and over and over again. Over and over. That's why that video got as many hits as it did. Okay? And the next one talks about the arrangement between clergy and laity. Seventh-day Adventist Church, same thing. Clergy and laity. I mean, it just goes on and on. Look at how small, you know, the bar is. So if you just scroll with the mouse, yeah. And so what she said here is fulfilled in the Seventh-day Adventist Church in an overwhelming manner. So she says that, going on, the time was when Protestants placed a high value upon the liberty of conscience, which has been so clearly purchased, or dearly purchased. And 500 million people burned at the stake, and I get that from Fox's Book of Martyrs. I know that's documented that 100 million were, you know, killed in history by the Catholic Church. But if you go to Fox's Book of Martyrs, I don't know if I have the proper one. I remember going through this book when I had it in hand. I found it online, and I don't know. Let's just see. I'll just do an F3 on the page and go million. Comes up two times. Okay, that's not the one. And acclamation of millions. Okay, no, it doesn't come up. Oh, how about just plain? Well, I put million, so it would have been either way there. So I don't know. Maybe I got a different version of Fox's, but I remember seeing it with my own eyeballs that 500 million Christians were killed. Now, doing the math, 200,000. Let me just get my calculator up. 200,000. Yeah, 200,000 times 1,260 comes up to 252 million people killed. Okay? Why did I say 200,000? That's how many the Muslims are killing now of the Christians every year. WorldNet Daily put it out as about 175, and then another news source said about 180-something. I just rounded it off to 200. So in today's world, they're killing 250. Like if the 1,260 year started now, they would, you know, do it and kill 250 million people, 252 million people. And so, but Rome is bloodthirsty. And when they had, because they don't have the power. I mean, yeah, they got the power now, the wound is healed, but they don't have the structural power that they did during the Inquisition. What I mean is, all the governments were under their control. Kings had to bow and kiss the feet of the Pope. One king had to literally stand in the courtyard and wait for days on end, barefooted in the snow, for the audience of the Pope so he can apologize because the Pope shunned him and his kingdom, he lost his crown. That's how much power they had back then. And so for them to kill 400,000 here wouldn't have been too much of a task for them to do, especially when you think about in one night how many they killed at Bartholomew's Massacre. And so, and the priest sending those guys out to kill said, get back here before sunset so that I can absolve you of the sin of murder. So they knew they were going to go out and murder, you know, break commandment number 6, and then come back and absolve for the sin of murder. I've got it in my book. People get ready. So they taught their children, she goes on, she says, they taught their children to abhor popery and held that to remain at peace with Rome would be disloyalty to God. But how widely different are the sentiments now expressed? And again, this is 1884. The defenders of popery declare that she has been maligned, and the Protestant world is inclined to accept the statement. Now, 1929 is not too far off from 1884, so the fix was already in. They were already doing their talking points. They were already doing their political jostling or whatever they were doing from Rome, because Napoleon only removed their papal power. He didn't remove their secular power. They still were considered Vatican City. They just didn't have church and state power. They only had state power. And being the smallest nation on the planet, that didn't work well for them. So they had to somehow get their foot in the door to force people in other nations, leaders in other nations, to look at them in ways that are far beyond the way they should look at them. In other words, turn them into gods on earth so that once they do get to that position, which by 1929 they finally did, then yeah, the wound started to scab over. Because that's the prophecy of Revelation that says the beast that was, is not, yet is, fulfilled. How? The beast that was 538 AD to 1798 AD. The beast that is not is the beast from 1798 AD to 1929, and the beast that yet is 1929 to today. And so that was easily seen as fulfilled. But here it's 1884. But again, this woman's a prophet, so yeah, she knows what she's looking at. But today, it's just, I mean, that's one of the, and people could say, well, we didn't really need the prophet if you think about it, because we're going to be living in the day, we're going to see this with our own eyes. But no, this shores up the truth, this shores up the scripture, this shores up our, you know, this vindicates our God. For one of his prophets to say something that's happening now, and she said it over 100 years ago, yeah, it's better she put it, you know, pen to paper. So going on, it says, many urge that it is unjust to judge the Roman Church of today by the abominations and absurdities that marked her reign during the centuries of ignorance and darkness. And I got a video about that, and it's on SDAapostasy.org as well as on YouTube, where they're defending the Pope now. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, it's actually, that's another one that got major hits. What was the title of it? Character, not Characteristics of Antichrist. Let me just see. We go back to real quick. Looks like I lost where I was. Oh, there it is. Okay. Well, it's going to be in the video section. I know that. So let me. Okay. Looks like that. Oh, there. Okay. I got to shrink it. The browser's the wrong size. Okay. Videos. SDA Church defends Antichrist. Okay, that's one of the early videos that I'd made for this site, because the other two are there. The rest of them, I got sick and tired of making these little shadow boxes, you know, like you click them and it zooms out. That's a lot of work. And so I just made them links. And so there's a bunch of videos that I did about the SDA Church there too. And so, but yeah. Here, this one here, SDA Church defends Antichrist. Oh, that's right, that's Flash. That's not going to work anymore. So I got to fix that. Okay. So the Java pulls it forward, but the Flash puts the video in. So, well, I got some work to do. So anyway, but those videos are in the other links as well. So going on, she says, they excuse her horrible cruelty as the result of the barbarism of the times, and plead that civilization has changed her sentiments. Well, actually, sentiments, if you think about it. But the thing here is what these people that she's echoing, because they're the ones saying this, she's just outing them on this, you know, Ephesians 5:11, all over the place on this one. But to excuse their, you know, as a result of the barbarism of the times are dictated by the leaders of the times. And so their excuse is useless. It's like saying, it's like your dad saying, don't smoke. And he starts coughing because his cigarette smoke went up his nose or something. That's what my dad would do. He says, don't smoke. You cannot smoke. Dad, man, you got a stick hanging out of your face right now. And that's why I started smoking. But I quit, praise his name. And literally became a non-smoker because of my Lord, my Savior, my King. Man, that was awesome. Second time in my life I heard the still small voice. Anyway, going on, have these persons forgotten the claim of infallibility for 800 years put forth by this haughty power? They're still saying it, by the way, too. They say they have infallibility in the ecclesiastical realm, which means when we define scripture, it's absolute, can't be changed. But still, you got pope after pope ignoring the previous pope. I says, whoa, wait a second, how is that infallibility then? When you said it was infallibility, when this one pope said it, and then centuries later, another pope says, oh, no, he was wrong. This is right. And now I'm infallible. It's a ball of confusion. That's why the scripture says or uses the term Babylon, because that means to mix truth with error. Going on, she says, so far from relinquishing this claim, the church in the 19th century has affirmed it with greater positiveness than ever before. 19th century, again. 1800s, you know, so that's 19th century. You got to count that 0 year, you know. And so as Rome asserts that she has never erred, and never can err, right? And she has put that in writing. How can she renounce the principles which govern her church in past age? Hey, there you go. Oh, that was an excellent point to make. Did you catch this, though? Did you catch this? They're saying, well, it was because, earlier they said it was because of the times, the absurdities of the barbarism of the times. But what? Then she's also saying, but wait a second. They claim to be infallible. The Pope was the leader of that time. The times are dictated by the leaders. It's always been that way throughout history. That's the norm. Boy, can't you wait to get to heaven? The times are eternal there. And who's the leader? Well, praise his name. Our Heavenly Father, his Son, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We're perfect ambassadors to go forth. Perfect ambassadors. Be ye perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. But a lot of people say, I'm not perfect, just forgiven. Yeah, well, bumper stickers, love that one. So, but anyway, yeah, she's saying here that, you know, this is perfect the way she puts it. Rome asserts she never erred and never can err. Well, then how can she renounce the principles which govern her course in the past ages? If she can never err, why is she saying it was the barbarism of the times back then? Please forgive us. We're going to apologize. And they did. The Pope apologized twice, in fact. And she prophesied that they would. I got it on my LNY page where she said certain statements, that she prophesied certain statements that are not found in Scripture, but are found in history now, because she's been dead since 1915. And if you want to see that, let me go to this one instead. If you want to see that page, go to the prophecy section. Go to Ellen White on the bottom. Who is Ellen White? Oh yeah, was she a prophet? What on earth is that thing popping up? Not now. Okay, my browser's asking me questions. All right, so but here are what? 35 different statements that she made that are not found in Scripture that she said will happen after she dies. Okay, 34, because the first one I put up there, did Ellen White ever call herself a prophet? And so look at them all. I mean, look at some of the more obvious ones. The constitutions will be changed. USA will change it. Well, if you look at the constitutional updates of all the things I got there, I got over 60 articles on that alone. But every nation, and I did videos on this and radio on this because this went on for decades. For about two decades, the Vatican, the Pope, John Paul II was very instrumental in this because he was so traveled. He went and convinced all these nations around the world to change their constitutions. To what? We're going to find out soon. As soon as they change our constitution. Ours is obviously going to be the last one to change. Ours has already been nullified. You don't believe me? Pay your car insurance bill. That's illegal. The government cannot force you to buy a product. The U.S. Constitution clearly says that. But you have to get car insurance or you go to jail to get in a car accident or whatever. You know, or you'll lose your license or whatever. So, anyway, let me just throw out some of these out here. Poison the atmosphere. They would poison the atmosphere up. I put that one on video. As a matter of fact, let me go to that video really quick here and see if I can zip through it. I got the sound off. Oh, okay. Here's the chemtrail area, of course. Fran actually told me earlier she was outside taking a dog out earlier. Here's a bunch of pictures about California right there. But she says that we have absolutely no chemtrails in the sky right now. There's a first. Because they're going to waft down on Lafayette and other. Let's see. Now, where did I. I don't know if it's in here. You got to see this coin that the Vatican minted. It's a Vatican coin. Let's see if I can get it in here. It's in this video. It's in one of my videos, but I'm not going to zip around. Let's just go to Google real quick. I'll just say chemtrail coin. I'm sure it's going to pop up there. There it is. Okay, this guy actually points to it. But this is what I put in my video. I think this is the one I put in my video down here. But let's zoom in because let me see if I can pull this out. Open a new tab, see if it makes it any bigger. No, let's zoom in. Yeah, it's kind of hard to see. Well, let me get the other one. The other one's better. The one I used in my video was this one. Come on, clarify. No, maybe it's this one with the red. Yep. Because I had it tilted. If I remember, I had it tilted because it was on an angle. So open a new tab. Oh, it's coming over here. Let's get that one on screen and zoom. Oh, boy, they really pixelated the daylights out of it. But you can see just here, there's an airplane. Let me get a little better one here. There's an airplane, and look what's behind it. Chemtrails. Vatican coin. Literally says Vatican. The wound is healed. If it wasn't healed, that coin would not have been allowed. That would have caused an uproar. But now they're going, well, it's going to cause an uproar regardless, but now they can't do nothing. They can't stop us. The ball's rolling so far down the hill now, you can't stop it. The wound's healed. Getting back. The Papal Church will never relinquish her claim to infallibility, as she has done in her persecution of those who reject her dogmas. She holds to be right, and would she not repeat the same acts should the opportunity be presented? Which means when she gets her full powers like she had during the Inquisition, yeah, you can lay dollars to donuts, she's going to do that. It's going to happen exactly as it did from 538 to 1798. The only difference now is it's only going to happen for a few years, from 2027 to 2030, if their timing matches our Father's timing. You know, we don't know the day or the hour. Satan doesn't know the day or the hour, but we, and even Satan, can know the season. And so, but going on, let the restraints now be imposed by secular governments be removed. You hear that? Let the restraints now imposed, because ever since 1798, when Napoleon did, all the nations, because, oh man, I should have taken a pic of it yesterday when I saw it. Brother Gideon made a video. I thought it was Samuel that made the video, so I apologize to Samuel or Gideon or whoever, but Samuel's got one coming out. He does interviews. But Gideon did this amazing video of Antichrist and stuff like that. And he put in there, he did 14 points about Antichrist, and he gets to this point, one point where he shows all these politicians sitting around waiting on the Pope to say something. And they kind of pan the crowd. Okay? What's my point? When you watch Gideon's video, watch for that section. Look at the expressions on the faces of the politicians. They're not happy. They all got frowns. None of them are smiling. Okay, why? What does the prophecy say about them hating the whore? Well, they like the money they make from the whore, but they hate it. They eventually will, you know, rebel against it, obviously. They don't like, you know, when I was looking at that, I was thinking, boy, some of these guys, it was just obvious. You mean you took me away from what I had planned for this weekend to fly down at Vatican City and sit here and listen to this old guy talk about things that we've already discussed in the last CEO and the last political meeting? You could just see it on their faces. Look, this is a waste of time. It's propaganda. It's just a photo op. And you could see it on their faces. They don't like being there. And so, but they're the ones that have imposed restraints upon the Vatican ever since Napoleon did what he did. They no more church and state power, but now that's been removed. That's why they're sitting there. They're in agreement. That's why the Muslims are killing the Christians. That's why we're faking Twin Towers falling down on September 11th. The Pope wants to start killing the Christians again. We got to get the Muslims to look bad. We got to get a reason to kill the Christians, but in a way that makes us look good, and so make the Muslims look like they're extremely overwhelmingly evil, so that, because it's going to get obvious, Christians are going to be dying, but we got to make it look like it's just naturally because of the Muslims. And so drop those buildings, blame it on the Muslims, then let's get busy killing Christians. And that's what the Vatican did and has been doing, to the tune of like one Christian dead every 2 minutes. That's 200,000 a year. So it is true, she says, that there are real Christians in the Roman Catholic Communion. Thousands in that church are serving God according to the best light they have. Remember what the Lord said twice in Scripture about he's going to wink at your times of ignorance? You know, and so I know many Catholics, like my dad, for example. He died a Catholic, But he also declared a few years before he died that he accepted Christ as his Savior. But he still had some goofy ideas about Catholicism. But the Lord winked at his times of ignorance. You want proof? When we get home to heaven, talk to the thief that was hanging on the cross next to him and ask him how much theology he understood. Yeah, nary a page, right? But yet he knew who was hanging next to him. And so he declared what he declared. And Jesus said that, yeah, when heaven begins, you're going to be there. And so, boy, there was a lot of winking on that guy, but that's what love is. Our God is a God of love. He's not a tyrant that goes around and kills like the Vatican does. So going on, she says, they are not allowed access to his word. And talking about the Catholics, these are the ones that are, you know, I mean, look at the Filipinos and the Mexicans. And they're even going back to the Latin Mass now because it's getting too dangerous for those English-speaking preachers that are coming around in their neck of the woods, hence the reason for the vaccines and the fake stuff and all that. And so it says, talking about the Catholics, they are not allowed access to his word, you know, the Bible, and therefore do not discern the truth. They can't tell they're being lied to. It's just like when you grow up in a family and your parents tell you that, you know, whatever. The things that are, like Santa Claus. Okay, your parents tell you Santa Claus is real. Well, you finally grow up, right? And you finally realize you've been lied to. Well, praise God, a lot of people grow up and get out of the Catholic Church. My wife and I are two that were blessed in that manner, to where we finally grew up and opened up a Bible, and wow, they've been lying to us. So she goes on to say that they have never seen the contrast between a living heart service and a round of mere forms and ceremonies. You know, like the genuflecting, the sign of the cross, the host, you know, the constant repetitiveness during the Mass and repeating words so that you could partake in the Mass the way it's not as boring. Yeah, you can say that stuff in your sleep. You know, if you're Catholic 5 years, if you're Catholic 1 year, you know exactly what the Pope or the priest is going to say on the pulpit, and you have to echo whatever you, because they play a part. Everybody in the whole church recites something after the Pope or the priest says something from the pulpit. That's a Catholic Mass. And I did it for 29 years. Yeah, even as an infant, but I didn't know any better. But still, going on. But God looks with pitying tenderness upon these souls, educated as they are in a faith that is delusive and unsatisfying. He will cause rays of light to penetrate the dense darkness that surrounds them. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He will reveal to them the truth as it is in Jesus, and they will yet take their position with his people. But Romanism as a system is no more in harmony with the gospel of Christ now than any former period in her history. You know, one of the definitions of a cult, by the way, is to, and I got a video, 6 signs of a cult. A lot of churches, including one that used to be part of our number, have actual fruits of a cult. There's 6 of them, but one that comes to mind is like if someone in the church family is doesn't believe the way the preacher says, kick them out of the church. No Matthew 18, nothing, just kick them to the curb. Or, then this is really sad, if someone in your family, if your parents and you have children that are above age, like the age of 20, you know, accountability, and they do not believe the way the parents do, as the way the preacher tells them to, kick them out of the family. How does that relate to a cult? Well, when a person decides in the Catholic Church to become a priest, to prevent the families from showing them the Bible scriptures to get them out of danger, they force the priest to live in a rectory where other priests live so they can have their, because it's all the homosexual thing too, by the way. But what about women? Well, some women want to devote their lives to the church and to Christ. And to prevent them and their families from telling them you're in danger, they force them to leave the family and live in a convent. So kicking somebody out of the family is the exact same way as making a nun or a priest. Same thing. You know, that's what they do. And worse yet, like when they're really, really... Like say they're articulate and they have a really strong zeal to share the truth of Scripture, tell them to shut up and join a monastery. In other words, take a vow of silence to the day you die. You know, as a matter of fact, Martin Luther started out as a monk. obviously, because he was wordy. But he eventually started teaching. So anyway, going on, it says, the Protestant churches are in great darkness, or they would discern the signs of the times. In other words, the Protestant church is the false prophet. I don't know how many people have sent me emails and made comments in my video, and you share with love. You say, oh, you know, close, you know, but no cigar. In other words, no. The dragon, obviously, is, you know, the three frogs on the same lily pad thing. The dragon is obviously Satan. That's how it's defined in prophecy. The beast is the Roman Catholic Church. The false Protestant, the false prophet is the Protestant Church. Yeah, because they protested against Rome, which is an actual prophetic utterance. Just calling themselves Protestants was exposing the Roman beast. But now they're embracing Catholicism, and now so they're uttering a false prophecy. So they're a false prophet. And especially the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That is the ultimate for the lily pad. What I mean is, you got the Whore of Babylon, of course, the beast, right? And then the Sisters of the Whore are all the Protestant churches, including the SDA Church. But then you got the false prophet. Who's going to be the leader of that false prophet conglomeration? I would have to think, and maybe I'll do a Bible study one day on this, and say it has to be the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because, oh, Capernaum, you had this truth. You know, you had it all. You had everything. You had the blessings. You had a live-in prophet, prophetess, but you attacked her too. Well, not you personally. The people you allowed to infiltrate your church attacked her. And so, yeah, they are claiming to be Protestant, but now they're tithing to the Pope. And yes, I got a video about that. And so going on, it says, the Roman Church is far-reaching in her plans and modes of operation. She is employing every device to extend her influence and increase her power in preparation for a fierce and determined conflict to regain control of the world, to reestablish persecution, and to undo all that Protestantism has done. Now, this isn't mentioned in prophecy, and I don't think Sister White talks about this either, but when we look at how it's going to go down, if the Pope gets his way in 2027, they're going to make the people that shouted the loud cry look so bad that you think it's bad when people want to kill you, and people have been killing people because they refuse to wear a mask, because they think their family's in danger now because you're not wearing a mask. They are the media is going to make it positively absent. They're just going to make it clear to everybody that because of us, we went out there with the loud cry and said, you got to keep the seventh day Sabbath. That's the seal of God. If you keep the first day Sabbath of Rome, that's the mark of the beast. And so they're, of course, going to blame us for the calamities and all this other stuff. But they're going to do everything they can to make us look bad so they can kill. But I'm wondering, and I'm, you know, if this is actually how it's all going to go down because of the reason for the one world government. Rome may believe and know, because of the frowns on all those guys that were in that video that Gideon made, that they're on thin ice. They're on shaky ground, right? And the politicians that love them for the money and stuff like that are eventually going to turn on them. And when Rome pushes the media to go forth and start making it like, oh, I don't know, haphazardly killing Christians, like it's like, oh, this is just so appalling. We can't believe you guys. Stop killing the Christians, which means keep killing them. Because they're going to say one thing in the media and tell you one thing behind closed doors. I mean, like the Pope now, he's telling the Muslims to kill the Christians, but on the other side, he's saying, oh, the Muslims, you know, stop killing Christians, you know. And so let's just say they do something to this effect that they're approached by some of the really big wigs like the U.S. president or even other, or Israel, any other prime ministers and stuff like that that are big wigs. They're going to come forward and they're going to say, hey, you know, this is getting out of hand. And they'll come up with some ideas that says, look, if we can get everybody in agreement to go ahead and go forth and kill them, then would you agree that this is the right thing to do, to kill them all? Okay, fine. So you're talking about a death decree, but it has to be a one world government signature, right? And so, yeah, and so they'll go for it and they'll do it. That's when the killings stop. according to the spirit of prophecy in Scripture, that's when they kill. It stops. Whether or not it's going to go down like that, to where the guys with the frowns are going to say, "Hey, look, this is getting out of hand. You're getting too many people killed out here. It's just, it's anarchy." I mean, look what went down when the two witnesses were killed within 3.5 years, or 3 days. Yeah, 3 years. They brought the Bible back into society because it was anarchy. In just 3 years. And that was just Europe. Imagine that being global. Because, you know, they're going to have everybody convinced that those people that went out there and declared the truth regarding the seal of God and the mark of the beast, that, because now Satan's on the planet. He has no choice now. He's got to do his last hurrah to try to shut us up. That's called enforcing the mark. The buy and sell thing goes down, and it starts. So she goes on, Catholicism is gaining ground in our country upon every side. Yeah, little did she know that, 14 years after she died, our country would be involved in that Mussolini meeting in the Lateran Palace with Gasparri, 1929. Anyway, look at the number of her churches and chapels. Look at her colleges and seminaries, so widely patronized by Protestants. I can't believe it. I know people that are Sabbath keepers that send their children to Catholic schools to get a religious... They won't send them to the SDA church because the theology is a mess, or they don't have anyone near them. So they send them to a Catholic school. That's how blind they are. Like when I started preaching years ago on Fire Talk, people were coming up to me, you know, because I was exposing Antichrist. And I was saying, they were coming up and saying, "This is amazing stuff. We never heard this before. Where are you getting this stuff?" And I was telling them, you know, the research and all this other stuff. And then I would always ask what their denomination is. And most of them were saying they were SDA. And I was shocked. I said, "This is supposed to be your message." I found out later. I said, "What is SDA? You know, because I didn't even know who Ellen White was. Someone sent me a DVD. And I never looked at it for a few years. I had no idea what an SDA was. And so, you know, I just... When I found out what they were, I says, "Wow, this is what's called the Three Angels' message." You know, I just figured it was what the three angels were saying in Revelation 14, and then Christ steps up in Revelation 18 as, you know, number four. And so I, you know, never knew that this was all locked down by SDAs, which made my job even easier when I got some of the old stuff that wasn't corrupted and started looking into it, you know. But anyway, she goes on to say, "These things should awaken the anxiety of all who prize the pure principles of the gospel. Protestants have tampered with and patronized popery. They have made compromises and concessions with papists themselves, which papists themselves are surprised to see and fail to understand." Yeah, it's how much power Satan's got over even them. "Men," she says, "are closing their eyes to the real character of Romanism and the dangers to be apprehended from her supremacy. The people of our land need to be aroused to resist the advances of this most dangerous foe to civil and religious liberty." And yeah, what John Paul II said in 1998, it's going to be civil and religious liberty is gone. Keep Sunday holy. Well, if you're a Sabbath keeper, tough. Bend, you know, bend, bow, or die. You know, and some people say, "Oh, the Jews never did it." Well, the Jews have already been doing it for years. They made it legal in their nation to break the real Sabbath. And years prior, they said Sunday was a holy day. They agreed with the Pope. And people, "Oh, the SDAs then, they'll never do it." Really? They got dozens and dozens of Seventh-day Adventist churches keeping Sunday holy already, right now. And I have them listed on the SDA apostasy site. I haven't updated the list in a while, but there's enough on there. And the General Conference even said it's no big deal. They literally were asked the question, "What's going on with these Sunday keeping, you know, is it okay to keep Sunday holy in the SDA church?" No big deal. That was your General Conference talking, or their General Conference talking. I know there's some SDAs visiting us now. So anyway, "Many suppose," she says, "that the Catholic religion is unattractive and that its worship is a dull, stupid round of ceremony," which it is, but, and I agree with her, here they mistake. There's it's kind of like a reverse psych. No, it's not even that. It's like mesmerism. That's the word I was looking for. She goes on, because I'm sure she'll probably touch on this. "While Romanism is based upon deception, it is not a coarse and clumsy imposture. The religious service of the Roman Romish church is a most impressive ceremonial. I mean, it's eye candy. Fran and I, when we were devout Catholics, you know, we used to go to morning mass the last couple of years, I would think, of our Catholic walk. And it's boring. The mass is boring. But the neat thing is, it didn't matter which church you went to, it's going to be the exact same mass, exact same sermon. Kid you not. I can't remember the exact Latin term for it. I did a video on it, and I showed how they have this thing that they used to mail out many, many years ago. Every 10 years, they would mail them out to the churches before, you know, you had even like internet and all that stuff. Now they send them out in email and stuff probably annually to tell the pastors or the monsignors, if you will, and the priests and the churches what to preach every week. It's done in advance, 10 years in advance, 20 in the old days. And so it didn't matter which church you went to, it's going to be the exact same sermon. And so the reason we would hop is to look at the statues and look at the, you know, the impressiveness of it all, the ceremonial, the robe that the priest is wearing, the fancy robes of the altar boys, where usually it was white, but sometimes they put fringe on them and stuff, and the candles and the stained glass. Oh man, they would deck it out and gold everywhere. And so we would, you know, go from church to church just for that, just for the eye candy. So she says, its gorgeous display and solemn rites fascinate the senses of the people and silence the voice of reason of conscience. You know, the eye is charmed. Yeah, that's why I called it eye candy. And so, oh man, I hit a point there and just went right out of my mind. So it'll come back if the Lord would have it. So magnificent, she says, magnificent churches, imposing processions, golden altars, jeweled shrines, choice paintings, and exquisite sculpture appeal to the love of beauty. The ear is also captivated. There is nothing to excel the music. The rich notes of the deep-toned organ, blending with the melody of many voices as it swells through the lofty domes and pillared aisles of her grand cathedrals, cannot fail to impress the mind with awe and reverence. I remember that one time, Fran and I, this was the last few years of our Catholic walk, every Christmas, we would go to Poor Clare's. It's called Poor Clare's, C-L-A-I-R-E-S. It was a monastery on Keene Avenue, Cook County Forest Preserves. I just happened to come across it one time when I would go walking in the woods, because I would say the rosary in the woods before I dumped the rosary. That's where I would pray sometimes. Came across this small building with a beautiful, you know, trail and like wooded path in the back with beautiful stones, little babbling brook. I mean, it's just decked, right? I says, what's up with the doorway, though? I kid you not, it was a little red door to get in the building. The door was 4 feet tall. It's the only way to get in. Why? During the Inquisition, there were knights in shining armor that did not agree with all these Christians getting killed. They would take out some of these monks. So they designed their monasteries with very thin hallways, and this one had thin hallways too. Why the thin hallways? Well, a horse can't fit down that hallway. And the guy with the armor has to turn sideways, if, in fact, he even gets in the building. Why? A guy in armor can't bend over. For him to bend over to get into that 4-foot doorway, he's going to fall down. He can't get back up either, because the armor could be upwards of 150 pounds. And he may have just rode a horse for like a day and a half just to get there. And so it was designed to prevent them from killing the priests during the Inquisitions and whatnot, or even during Napoleon's day. And so they designed this place just like that. White walls, kind of looked like little like turrets on the top and stuff, like where they would shoot the arrows and try to kill the knights. And then the short doorway. So, but the thing that impressed me was it was a zap back in time, and it was all old fashioned stuff. Even the communion was just broken off pieces of bread. I never saw a communion like that. I thought, is this real? I don't think this is real communion. I'm looking around. I'm thinking, this can't be real. He just took a lump off that wheat loaf there. This is, you know. But I found out later that's how they did their communion in the old days. It would just break chunks of bread off of a big loaf of wheat bread. And you know, of course, do their hocus pocus transubstantiation thing and then hand it out as if it was Jesus' body. But what got me this one day when we walked in, we would go in on Christmas, and this one time, and this is a rarity because women are not allowed in monasteries, but Christmas, it was okay, right? And they had a nun singing Ave Maria, and she had a voice that, because I've always been into, I've listened to singers almost, even as a teenager, I would listen to certain people sing, and I'm not going to say who they were, but I wouldn't tell my buddies because they'd think, you know, you listen to her, or you listen to him, you know. Yeah, they got abilities in their voice. I love when someone's gifted with the voice of, you know, with the ability to sing. And but I would never admit it because, you know, wanting to be a tough guy, right? And this woman had a voice. It was a little tiny thing, but it was a little girl. She, well, not young girl. She was a nun, so she had to be over 20. But with the black robe, she had the habit. So she was a full-fledged nun. And she was singing Ave Maria, and it was brought tears to your eyes because you're a devout Catholic and all this stuff, right? And so that impresses the mind, too, with awe and reverence. And then let me see if I could finish this up because 4 o'clock's coming up on me here. It says, this outward splendor, pomp, and ceremony that only mocks the longings of the sin-sick soul is an evidence of an inward corruption. You know, they're trying too hard, you know? They're gilding the lily a tad too much here. She says, the religion of Christ needs not such attractions to recommend it. In the light shining from the cross, true Christianity appears so pure and lovely that eternal decorations only hide its true worth. It is the beauty of holiness, a meek and quiet spirit, which is of value with God. Let me see how far this goes. Okay, I'm going to read this one last paragraph here. Brilliancy of style is not an index of pure elevated thought. The highest conceptions of art, the most delicate refinement of taste, often spring from minds wholly earthly and sensual. They are often employed by Satan to lead men to forget the necessities of the soul, to lose sight of the future, immortal life, to turn away from their infinite helper, capital H, and to live for this world alone. Okay, let me see. Okay. As a matter of fact, I'm going to reread that part next week. So we're going to pick it up here because it kind of carries over into the next paragraph, and I don't want to have to, you know, re-explain things. So let me find... got to shut that one down. I don't know. What did we leave off at 380? Oh, no. What are we on? Last night it was page 156 for some reason I opened it up twice by mistake, and when I do that I don't know which one's been saved, so give me a moment here. 154, 156, okay, so I dump that one. Okay, make this one, what page did we leave off on? 383. So, alright, we'll go to 383 . All right, I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.